The following Dharma talk was presented at Common Ground Meditation Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as part of the monthly guest Dharma series.
Good afternoon, all. I am Nesky, and the Dharma talk is by no means is a Dharma talk. I am going to share a few reflections from my own practice that has been like smacking my face. Some things may resonate with you, some things may not. Because in the spirit of gentleness, kindness, you know, you can just put it aside if it didn't. Even if it did. So I've been deliberating on what to reflect on for maybe over a month. And here we are. And on anything formal, I kept coming back to the same thing. It's been all safe before. So I'm not going to tell you some profound truths that you have not heard before. But as is life, it just seems to me, in my own practice, I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, we hear it, it makes sense. Shifts. Yeah, it turns around and it gets something else that we didn't know before. So, the Buddha was said to be a wise being, as well as maybe a psychic. He knew a lot of things. However, he decided, and it has been known that he says, you know, there is so many things I can teach you. You have big other forks. But what I choose to teach, or what I would like to teach, is suffering and the end of suffering. I've been very interested about the root suffering. We all know that life comes with a little bit of suffering or a lot, depending on how we relate to things, but I just keep thinking, you know, they say, what's desire? It's this. If you only knew, it would become wise. So I have been really paying attention when the heart is so squeezed that, like, life is going to come out of your ears. Like, and at the moment, it's very difficult to know because we, you know, we are so wrapped up in the story, but what's happening? Why is it like this? A lot of what I have been in the last several months, just life events that really have come in the face kind of situations, have brought up so much of the conditioning in this mind and heart, that I had to deliberate and look at attachment and grasping, just, you know, holding on to dear life, to if I may have understood it or have no control over it, it's still so much clinging and so much grasping. It's coming apparent that it's not necessarily the desire of the things, but they're not accepting the wanting it to be other than what it is. That is squeezing the heart. in Moscow in October, I got a really dreadful phone call from my oldest brother in the middle of work. And, you know, he came in to visit me a week before, and he normally doesn't call unless, you know, somebody really called me or something terrible, but I had never heard this type of terrible thing, so he called me, and I said, are you okay? He's like, I'm not okay. So, okay, what can I do? What is it? And then I can hear that he's driving. So in the middle of the meeting, I just put the alcohol on mute, and I'm like, he's screaming like a mad person. Like, so I couldn't comprehend things for what seemed like a long time. What is it? What is it? So you see, it's Lydia, who is my niece, his daughter, who is in med school. And I really thought that maybe there was an accident and something happened. But he couldn't tell me. He was just screaming, please, can you just stop the car? I'm in the freeway. What? Like, you know, it's just... And, you know, after like maybe 10 minutes, we just say, she had cardiac arrest. And yes, he was just screaming. And, you know, it's one of those moments where, like, the log is really pulled underneath from your... comfort. So it was, you know, it was really impactful. Like, I didn't know exactly what to tell him to just, like, be out of the freeway. Like, at the moment, I was like, you know, listen, you're not going to be able to make it to the hospital to be there for him. You just, like, not, you know, he did not care about anything. Just really losing it. And it shows in a coma where, like, series. It was really, really, really scary, but my mind was very present, and we were there, and just kind of trying to figure out, she's going to wake up, and everyone, the doctors were saying, I don't know, and he could not sleep, like, completely falling apart, like, you know, just talking to the doctors, and so impactful. Just at the mercy of whatever is going to happen. Even though I know that, you know, life is going to end, and we don't know what's going to happen, I don't know. You know, the pouring of, like, all this kindness from people, as well as my heart, just breathing, trying to comfort him and trying to kind of, I don't even know how to, what to call it, to pray or whatever you, just like so alert and aware, and equally holding on, really holding on to say that happened. I mean, she's only 23. Oh my God. The stories of all that spins, so, you know, it's been really, really just, I'm just realizing that all the stuff that I think I understood or have slightly an insight on versus the direct experience is very different, and how we react and relate to this vulnerable life that we don't have any control. Did I forget that there was any control? Like, did we have any say? I recall the moment when she told us that she was accepted to med school. Like, everyone was so joyful. We never thought that this was going to happen. So what was quite interesting to me was, after that old ordeal all kind of started to wrap up, she surgery, she woke up, she's doing okay. So the story ends okay, but this tug of my heart got really worse. this is how it's gonna be with, you know, my enemies. This is how it's gonna be with my spouse. It was like, I could not stop the heart from, you know, just being squashed by all this last event that was very impactful and continues to be. So I kept looking at attachment, and not even in the way like the Buddha suggested that, you know, you have the right view and you do this, you do this, 8 things, and I'm like, I'm not looking elsewhere, I'm just looking at this heart that's not moving, like, you know, even though there's so much movement, day-to-day changes, but the talk of this is going to happen. This is what's happening. This is not acceptable. I don't like this. Has been just really in my face. And I remember being somewhere like this, you know, a few years back when my dad died, even though I was prepared for it. Months after that, it was like, this cannot happen. You will spend this, you know, this, just this inacceptance of things we don't like. So, the original suffering, is said to be craving or desire. The desire for my niece to be well really did not cause any harm, but the desire for what has happened, or she cannot, you know, like move on or transition to next life, like that, like not wanting that to happen. First up, it doesn't actually, that I have no control over. Has been completely squishing my heart for some time. And hanging out. I have been really hanging out in this space, just looking in. You know there's nothing you could do. But, keep looking. So, I know that I was reading, attachment or craving is a the second noble truth, as the Buddha says, and Ajahn Sumedho has a great article about this that says, what is letting go? Letting go is actually not annihilation. I don't want to ever feel this, or this is not acceptable. But letting go, he says, is putting it aside, just putting it aside, and then when you need it, you can pick it up. And he gives an example about a clock where somebody may say, just, you know, just let go of that clock, don't hold on to that clock. It's like, it's not a good clock, I can actually use it. I don't have to throw it away completely, drop it, and break it. I don't have to carry it every day either, I can just put it aside. And in that same article, I was struck by, as soon as you start looking at this attachment or craving, and I have become aware that it is actually craving or an attachment, versus just being completely wrapped up, it has less power. Doesn't mean that it's going to go away, but it has less power. That it's being seen. Just allowing it to move. Being intimate with it. So in my own just journey, discovery, I was just like moved completely to fear. So much fear that this is going to happen. It's going to happen to her, this is going to happen. You know, it all seems to be acceptable in my case, but I don't want this to happen to mine. The loved ones. So the whole just looking into things, the gross death is really scary, of course. But the every little thing that we attach to, whether how I prepare my coffee, I love it with cream, if not, then it's not what I want. Every little attachment, the big ones and the small ones and the other ones, and I like this person, this is, you know, this is my body, I like it. It's, you know, it's really interesting where there is hardly any moment without an attachment. Every single time you just form something and it's actually quite alarming when we fully let go of something and there isn't a fixed idea. It's a whole lot of fixed ideas that are we are unaware of, that I personally have been watching, and still all the strong opinions about, like, this is how it is, this is how it should be, even about impermanence and all the things that I take to be true. It's the fixation of things, and some of it is very helpful, you know, all this wholesome attachment. But there is no attachment without suffering. It's just, it's synonymous. How do we keep looking? The one thing that was just, at the moment when I decided to share this was, that was wise for myself, but you don't really have to go look somewhere else. Just look exactly where it hurts. Just in the pain itself. Just be. I don't know where else to be, I guess. I mean, I would really take an advice. I don't know where else to be other than the ouch. Just look at the ouch until it moves. That freedom that we really seek. The letting go is not somewhere else, another day. It is in the moment that squeeze. Just being aware and saying, oh, it hurts, I can't take it anymore. Just bearing witness to this unbearable beauty and pain and in joy and sadness, in all of it. It's not really even always painful and suffering, but just paying attention to what's happening. But how do we completely get, how do we completely let go? Or learn to let go, or cut it away. How do we continue to let go? So we learn and not forget that I could still be here, it's not going to kill me. I mean, part of why we don't let go I don't know if any of you, there is a Zen teacher that I like, Adi Ashanti. He has a book called Into Grace. And the first time I read this many years ago, I remember dancing, just like, oh my god, this is so true. But, you know, years back again. So he has a chapter called The End of Suffering. He says, there is one thing about which I would like to be completely clear. If we want to stop suffering, if we really want to bring an end to suffering, we have got to wake up. Waking up means waking to the truth of our being. The truth is that waking up can be a disturbing process. Who really wants to find out that everything they told was real, was nothing but a pocket full of dreams? Who wants to find out that everything that they hold on to and cling to is the very reason that they suffer? Who really wants to find out that we are all addicted to qualities like approval, recognition, control, and power, and that none of these things actually bring an end to suffering? In fact, they are the causes of suffering. So, many of us don't want to wake up to such truth. I know that at the time, at like the real squeeze, I feel like, you know, if somebody asked me to go dance upside down, I would just do anything. But it does not connect well that my own clinging is the cause, you know, the very suffering. It just doesn't. At the moment, we just need a relief to get things better or get a job or X or Y, and it's just astounding.
This talk, like all programs at Common Ground, is offered freely in the spirit of generosity. To learn more about Common Ground and its programs, or if you would like to donate, please visit our website, www.commongroundmeditation.org.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.